close to heart and the person that I want to be feels just out of my reach. He whispers to me that I do not need to do it alone. He never wanted me to face anything on my own. 'Cause in the strength of the Lord, I can do all things. He knows how to change the weakness in me. So I will let His love lift me. I can do hard things if I will trust Him and walk forward in the strength of the Lord. He promised me that there would never be anything that I could not overcome. His power is more than enough. I know that if He is standing with me, I can conquer everything. He offered His life so He could be by my side every day. 'Cause in the strength of the Lord, I can do all things. He knows how to change the weakness in me. So I will let His love lift me. I can do hard things if I will trust Him and walk forward in the strength of the Lord. The strength of the Lord.
Thank you, Rochelle. It's wonderful to be with you today. It's wonderful to be a family. You think about what draws us together. It's Jesus, isn't it? I don't know why you think you're here, but it is because Jesus brought you here. He wants us not only to be here in His presence, but He wants us to be here together. That's His design and that's His plan. Let's bow our heads as we seek Him and His word. Dear Father, we thank You that You are here with us. We thank You for the beautiful time of worship in Your presence that we've already been enjoying. Thank You for the way You've touched us with the miracle stories and with the different things that have already come through and touched our hearts with things that we are facing, decisions that we have, things that are going on in our lives that You are touching, that You are showing us the way. And now, Father, as we come, we ask that You would speak to us through Your word. We ask You to take everything else that has us and let us be only in Your hands, that by Your Spirit You can touch us, speak to us, move us to go forward in our walk with You. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Is there anybody here today who would be willing, if I asked you, to pull up all your stakes, to pack up everything or get rid of it, and tomorrow head out on a journey you don't know where. Did someone say yes? I'm not going to ask you to stand, because I seriously question your judgment. You barely know me, most all of you. You barely know me. You don't know if I'm reliable. You don't know if I have good judgment. You don't know if I have your best interests at heart. I think by the fact that I'm here, you suspect that I do. You suspect that I'm trustworthy. But you don't know. So I would say that if I asked you to do what I just said, to pull up all your stakes, to get rid of everything or pack it all up, and head on the road you don't know where, just under my direction tomorrow, you should not do it. Okay? Otherwise, we need to talk. One of the most poignant, heartbreaking stories in Jesus' time here on the earth was the story of the rich young ruler. Remember that story? You can find it in two places in the Gospels, in Matthew chapter 19 or in Luke chapter 18. Many of you learned it in Sabbath school or have learned it in church. Let's give you a little refresher. Jesus was teaching, and a young man that evidently was rich, because the disciple who wrote it could tell, came up to Jesus and he asked a question. Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus answered him with what basically boiled down to a religious test. And it was a religious test in terms that he understood. Do you remember what Jesus referred to? First of all, when the man asked him that question, he referred to the Ten Commandments, particularly to the last table of the Ten Commandments, the ones that refer to how we relate to our fellow human beings. And the young man answered him, going point by point, you know, you shall not steal, commit adultery, all these things. He said, all these things I have done since I was a child. But then Jesus gave him a more ultimate test. A test to see if he had religion that James says is pure and undefiled. Basically, Jesus addressed an issue that the man had missed even in the way he framed the question. Do you notice how the man framed the question wrong? He said, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus reframed everything in a way that took it away from what you do, but actually by means of what you do, showing whether he trusted God. He said, take everything that you have, sell it, give to the poor, and follow me. What Jesus essentially told that young man was, you're going on a journey, and you don't know where. You're going to have to trust me. Everything else in your life that you've trusted, that you've staked your life on, your stuff, your connections, everything, I'm asking you to divest yourself and trust only Jesus. Trust only me. That's what Jesus was saying to him. And you know how that story ended, or at least how it ended in the telling right there. It ended with a young man going away sorrowful. Very tragic, very sad. Thank heavens, this is not the only story of a rich young ruler coming to Jesus and receiving instruction from him and responding one way or another. We are going to start today on a little series, and I'd like to invite you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Some of you are familiar with Hebrews chapter 11. You know it as the faith chapter. And we are going to be looking at Abraham and Sarah. If you think about it, Abraham was a kind of a rich young ruler, wasn't he? He had possessions, he had a following, he had a retinue, he had people that were with him that had staked their lives on being part of his team. He had connections there where he grew up. And Jesus came to him, God came to him and told him essentially a similar thing to what he told the rich young ruler on that day. Pull up your stakes and go with me. What a thing. What a thing to do. You know, it's one thing when you don't have much. It's one thing when you don't have that many connections and your life is just kind of afloat. If you're in that situation, it can be very easy to pull up stakes and say, sure, nothing's working for me right now. I'll try this. I'll go with you and see what happens. What can be the worst that can happen? I can be left in the same situation I am already. Shiftless, looking for roots, looking for a foundation, trying to find my way. But Abram was not in that situation. Just like the rich young ruler. He had all kinds of stuff. He had family. He had connections. He had much to lose. Interesting thing, when you look at what Abram did, you'll find that actually the first phase of his journey was not by himself with his own household, but it was with his father. Let's look here in Hebrews chapter 11 as we see the story of Abraham summarized in a way that teaches us today. We're going to be looking at verse 17 to begin with. And over the next few weeks, we are going to cover down to verse 21. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, who had received the promises. Do you know what? I went to the wrong part. I want you to know that I'm a person who will admit my mistakes when I make them. How about we go back to verse 8? By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he went out, not knowing where he was going. Kind of lay that template over your life. How does that fit? Read that again. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he went out, not knowing where he was going. I tell you what, that's never been asked of me. Never. You know that I have been asked to uproot and move. That's why I'm here right now. But I knew where I was going. And today, you know, I was able to, in the lead up to coming here, Stephanie and I were able to use Google Maps. We were able to consult Craigslist to find out the real estate, the rentals, and all the things. We were able to check out the place that we were going from afar. We didn't need to John the Baptist to pave the way. We could go by the internet and we could easily travel in a few hours to check things out ourselves. But Abram, he didn't have any internet. He didn't have any good maps. And even if he did, he didn't know where to look on those maps because Jesus just said, pick up and go. What did Abram have to have in order to say yes to something like that? He had to have absolute confidence in his God. He had to have absolute trust in his God. And I want to tell you this, that if Abraham, at that point in his life, Abram and Sarah did not have absolute trust in God, they would not have gone. And now we need to look at the flip side of that. If Abram and Sarah had not gone, it would have indicated that they did not have absolute faith and trust in God. by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive his inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. Let's go back to look at that story. You can find it in Genesis chapter 12. Trust me, it is Genesis chapter 12. Right at the first verse, we often think of Abraham as listening to the voice of God and leaving where? Where did Abram live? Ur of the Chaldees. And the fact of the matter is, if you read the scriptures here, Abram did not leave Ur of the Chaldees at the voice of God. He left Ur of the Chaldees with his dad and his family. If you look back in Genesis chapter 11, the last few verses, you'll see that Terah, Abram's father, moved from Ur to Haran. This is about 600 miles. If I wasn't in the middle of moving and everything, I would have that map on the PowerPoint for you. If you have a Bible that has maps, if you have the Andrew Study Bible, goodbye notes. If you have the Andrew Study Bible, I got the map right here. And you can see that the first leg of that journey was about 600 miles that Abram went with his dad. And there he lived with Haran until his dad passed away. And then we get to Genesis chapter 12. And it says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you." What a test of faith, don't you think? Reminds me, maybe a few weeks ago, you were thinking about the wise men. Those wise men from the east who came to visit Jesus. What did they do? They saw an indication that this star that they had observed in the sky meant more than just a little speck of light in the sky. And they picked up to go on a journey of how many months, we don't know, or years, possibly two, just to follow that star because they knew that it would lead them to the one that they needed and desired to worship. Abram was told, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And then the promises were made. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. But what we need to focus on today is in the face of that call, that open-ended call, what did Abram say? And along with him, Sarah. What did they say? Three letters. What did they say? In Hebrew, it was something different. But in our language, it's Y-E-S, yes. Abram was of a mind, he was of a commitment that when God asked something of him, God that he trusted, God that he knew could do anything, could take care of him, who had the plan for his life, that the only thing to say was yes. That's how I want to be. That's how I want our church family to be. That's how I want it to be for each one of you, for all of us. When we know what God's call is, when we know what he is asking, that we would say yes. That's what Abraham, he's been called the father of the faithful, said. Go. Maybe he even asked, where do you want me to go? And God simply said to him something to the effect of, just trust me and follow. That's what happened with the disciples. That's what he said essentially to the rich young ruler. He said it over and over and over and over in the scriptures. The fact of the matter is, we're all on journeys, aren't we? We are all traveling. I think of another rich young man in the Bible, in a story that Jesus told, who also took off, probably not knowing exactly where he was going. But he had a different compass than Abram had. He had a different compass than you and I are called to have. You remember the story of the prodigal son? What drove his journey? It was desire. Desire drove his journey, not faith. He had gotten tired of being in his father's house. He had gotten tired of the strictures of his father's house. He had a picture of the life that he wanted. And it involved him having everything he ever desired, being able to party and have fun all the time and have no responsibilities and to answer to no one except himself. It was the pursuit of pleasure. And so he persuaded his father to give him his inheritance, and off he went to find it, whatever it was. Some people would say to find themselves, but did he find it? No, the journey driven by desire, the journey driven by the desires of the self, always, one way or another, eventually ends up like that prodigal son's journey ended. Losing everything, feeding the pigs, and finally remembering what he had had. Abram's journey, Sarah's journey, was a journey driven by something else entirely, driven by trust in the God that they had given their lives to. Driven by trust in him. They had come to the place where they trusted him completely. Now, one of the things that we're going to find out as we follow Abraham and Sarah on this journey and in their sojourn and in their journey with the promise of descendants. And I find this to be good news. Is that they were not perfect in their trust, were they? We're going to find a lot of chinks in their armor. We're going to find a lot of problems with their constancy in faith in God. But at this point, when God said go, they said yes. The question we have for us today is, what is our great unknown? What is the unknown into which God is calling us? I like the way James puts it. You go over to James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. It's kind of a funny thing. We think that we know what we're giving up when we say yes to the Lord. And sometimes we think that we know what we're going to gain when we say yes to the Lord. But the fact of the matter is, the things that we think that we are able to hang on to, we don't even know that we can. James uses the example of travel in his statement about this. James 4, verse 13, he says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit." What does he say in the next verse? "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that." You see that? What it's telling you is that the deal that God is offering you is way better than you even realized. Because the things that you think that you need to give up to follow God, you don't even know that they're yours in the first place. Do you see that? That's what James is saying. I remember a day, and many of you, I'm sure, have had days like this, where you thought you knew how your life was and where it was going and for you and your family and everything like that, and then all of a sudden something happens and it changes everything. I remember the day when I was at seminary, and Stephanie and I were going to be going to meet my father, who had a layover in Chicago on his way to visit my sister in Ohio. And so I had set my schedule so that I was going to attend my classes in the morning, and then Stephanie was going to come puttering up in her little Chevette diesel, pick me up, and away we would go to Chicago so that we could catch my dad on his layover in Chicago. He was going to be there maybe an hour. How could we pass that up? And so I finished my class schedule that I was going to fulfill. I think I was going to skip some classes in the afternoon. And I came out to meet Stephanie. It would be easy to hear her driving up in the little Chevette diesel. And as I recall, it was a crisp and cold day. And sure enough, Stephanie came driving up in the Chevette diesel. But instead of going to Chicago, she told me, "Your father has been in an accident on his way to the airport. And he's in the hospital on life support. And furthermore, we didn't have an official diagnosis or anything. It all came through in the same hay wagon, shall we say. He has Alzheimer's. He's been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. All these things. You know what I'm talking about? When you think you know how things are and how things are going to be, and all of a sudden, one event changes everything. You knew where you were going to go for an hour or so and then come back and you're going to be going to classes and continuing on and everything? No. No. In the face of something like that, what happens? You start trying to find plane tickets so you can go and be with your dad and your family by his side, praying and supporting and everything like that, and looking for support yourself from being with family. Everything that you think is secure in your hands is not. So as you look, as we look at as a church, as we seek prayerfully to find God's leading, and as he promises, if we want it, he will give it. I'm here to testify. Some of you were here last Sabbath, and Stephanie and I both testified. If you want to know where God wants you and what he wants you doing, he will let you know. If you just kind of want to be on the right page and do your own thing, he'll let clues get through to you, enough to try and get you around, but only if you really want to know, if you want to be where he wants you to be, doing what he wants you to do, he will let you know. He has promised that in more than one place in the scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And what does he say he will do? He will direct your paths. He's promised that. I've seen it over and over and over and over, and it's true. You need to be prepared to say yes. You can trust him. You don't know that you have what you think you have, and you can trust him. Does that make the case for the yes that you need to give? The yes that we need to give as a church family. And I really want to think about it for a few minutes, about each one of us in our own individual lives. The greatest unknown that people face when it comes to God is the whole issue of giving yourself to him in the first place. Perhaps there's someone here. By the fact that you're here, it tells me that you have some kind of an interest in religion, some kind of an interest in faith, but maybe you haven't been able to cross that line to say, God, I am yours. And who knows what keeps you back? Maybe you don't even know what keeps you back, but I would venture to say that at the heart of what keeps you back is that you think you know what you have and you don't know what would happen if you really went for it with Jesus and gave yourself to him. Let him have you. I want you to know today there is nothing else to do but to give yourself to follow Jesus. You can tell by the example of the two rich young rulers that we talked about today. You don't know what he's going to ask of you. The rich young ruler who walked up to Jesus when he was here on earth, Jesus told him, sell everything, give it to the poor, and follow me. That's not what he said to Abram, is it? To Abram, he said, pack everything and follow me. I don't know. I think it would be easier to sell it myself, especially since we're in the middle of moving. We've discussed this seriously, Stephanie and I. But you don't know what he's going to ask of you. And that's just the thing. You don't know where he'll lead you, and you don't know what he's going to ask of you, but you can know this. Sealed by Jesus coming, being subject to temptation here on this earth, living for you and giving his life for you, you know that he has your best interests at heart. That his intentions towards you are entirely good. I love the scripture in 1 John. It says, God is light. There is no shadow of turning in him. There's nothing dark in him at all. When you're giving yourself to him, you don't have to look over your shoulder and wonder if he's up to something bad that you're going to regret. No, you can know that he is completely for you. If you are wondering today about the unknown of giving yourself to Jesus and accepting what he offers you, don't hesitate any longer. Do it right now. As we pray at the end of this message, would you please join me as I recommit my life to Jesus? If you're already a follower of Jesus, maybe some of you already have heard the call of Jesus to something that scares you, to some kind of a ministry, to some kind of a move, to start on something in your life, or maybe it's even someone that he's put on your heart to share him with and to help them see him as he really is and put their trust in him. And that scares you. What's going to happen if I do this? What will it cost me? What will I give up if I do this? The answer is the same. If you always say yes to Jesus, you will end up where you need to be, doing what you need to do, and you will have the joy and the peace that he promises you. That's what he offers. That's what he promises. Let us say yes to him. You remember that song? I remember learning it from Happy Songs for Boys and Girls. Anybody remember that? You can join in with me. Just one verse. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. Listen to this line. Anywhere without him, dearest joys would fade. Anywhere with Jesus, I am not afraid. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Would you join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we can be completely sure that you have a good plan for each of our lives as individuals, for each of our families, and for our whole church family. Thank you that through Jesus, you have demonstrated beyond any reasonable doubt both your love and your trustworthiness. That the only thing to say to you is yes. Father, right now I want to think especially about any here today who have hesitated to just let themselves be yours, to really believe that when Jesus came and died, that he died for them. He died for you. Father, I pray that now, as we pray together, that they can join me in trusting you. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that though we have sinned, though we have all gone astray, each to our own way, though we've rebelled against you in big ways and little ways, that Jesus took that all on himself. And he took care of it so that as we come to you now, that we can accept and claim that you have forgiven us of all of those guilt, all of those sins, all of those rebellions, and that you simply accept us as your children. Father, we want to stand before you, we want to sit before you and say to all the plans, all the will that you have for us, we want to say yes. And we thank you that you have given us eternal life, a place in your family, and a plan for the rest of our lives until Jesus comes. Father, I ask for all of us, please open our hearts, open our minds, take away every bit of distrust that we have, and leave us only trusting and loving you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Close your eyes, take a step. It's okay, I know where we're going. Don't fret, I've been before through these valleys, down these long and dangerous roads. And dark as it seems, trust me. Though you can't see, you can trust me. The way may be steep, but just trust me. Open your eyes, but don't let go of my hand. Let your tears turn into smiles. See the joy inside the trials. Don't you worry, you're safe with me around. Rest assured, I'm on your side. I won't let you hit the ground. Yet close as it seems, trust me. Though you can't see, you must trust me. The way may be steep, but just trust me. That's why I'm here, I'm here. Though you can't see, you me. The way may be steep, but you can trust me. Trust me.